wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
All right, well, let's get stuck into it. Welcome, everybody, to a Merry Gridiron Guysmas Christmas. Yeah, that sounds right. Welcome. How are we going? Joining me, as always, for this wonderful week is Cam. How's the things been going? You've been hitting it hard at work this week, I'm assuming.
Mate, really winding down. Second last day today. You've got a couple of hours tomorrow. I reckon they'll pull the pin early, thanks to public service. We are really looking after the country. But, yeah, I've got a tingle in my balls. Christmas is coming. I don't know if I should go and get that checked out with a doctor, but, you know, we'll just get excited about it.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not the cancer. It is actually the public service Christmas party that's starting tomorrow. It's going to be exciting. My first one, half day tomorrow. Mum was like, why are you even going to work? And I was like, well, it's no point taking a day off for like half a day. It's a free day.
Correct. That's exactly right. Yeah, we're going to do absolutely piss all, clean your desk, and get your money for it.
And look, I tell you what, it's been banging out there recently. I was out last weekend. Oh my God, every man and his dog is there, and it's just going to be absolutely bananas, I reckon. You know, it's just landed on like a perfect day. Like, you know how normally like Christmas is like, you know, midweek or something. Yeah. And so you finish like the Friday before and there's like that 4 or 5 day buildup. We're rolling into it hot from like Friday night. Saturday, if you're around, you're a Canberra and the Kingo, huge. Imagine that back to back. You're looking at it, stunning. And then you're waking up Sunday, absolutely rip and tear for actually what is going to be a nice hot day. We appear. But, I mean, this Canberra summer has been absolutely ridiculous. Like 3 degrees in the morning every time I get up in the morning. But we're actually looking at some sun.
Oh, look, it's fantastic. The weather's come shining. We're going to be having some beers. Jags and Jets are going to roll us into the weekend.
Yeah, it's keen. I'm looking forward to that game. It's going to be a big one. It's interesting to see because how about Jets are starting Zach Wilson. Did you see this? So clearly the Jets have had enough, have seen enough of Joe Flacco. They would rather either one, risk Mike White's life or go back to what they know is to be their bad ex-girlfriend, which is Zach Wilson, over Joe Flacco right now.
Yeah, look, elite Flacco's really seen better days. And you're right. Like, I think I saw Zach Wilson bought his offensive line a nice little Christmas present today, electric scooter. I think Josh Allen did the same.
I think he owes them something, doesn't he, though?
Correct, that's right. I feel like this is almost a bit of a brand new, a bit of a suck-up present saying, oh, sorry, guys, like, I've really been shit and I've kind of threw us under the bus here with what I've said. My preseason hype of what he'd done in the preseason really has died off with his actual playing ability.
I don't even think he did anything in the preseason. He's still hanging off that draft combined stuff. Well, not even the pro day at the BYU.
Oh, well, I think more of the stuff with the mothers.
Oh, man, he was riding high, wasn't he? That was an elite time. Like, that is a BYU kid through and through.
It could be the pinnacle of his career, if we're honest.
100%. And then to think that he's probably had a chance at Giselle as well. Who knows what that man's going to get up to next.
Yeah, so look, we don't want to slander the Jets. We've got a good few Jets fans out there and a friend of the Jets, so hopefully he doesn't take that kindly and enjoys his electric scooter, actually. Hopefully, Max, you enjoy your electric scooter.
Yeah, get around it. And also, we do know there are a couple of good boys out there. There is Sauce Gardner. He's just absolutely playing lights out. We can't talk enough about that man. He just gives me a hard on every time I think about it. So the Jets are a decent team, but obviously long-term, they're going to have some struggles. Poor Flacco. How about him? That's such a fall from grace. Do you remember like back in the day when he was like, I don't know, he literally willed the Ravens back to a Super Bowl, didn't he? Like that was ridiculous. You guys had no right to even beat us in that playoff game.
No.
Let alone win a fucking Super Bowl. And like with everything that happened, you remember that game how like the lights went out halfway through?
Yep. Oh, what it's conspiracy theories. Correct. That's right. We're on a roll. They didn't want us to win. They brought it back, let this 49ers in with Kaepernick. There was the fairy tale didn't quite complete. But yeah, look, Flacco. He was serviceable. He did a good job for us. And he looked at the same time as with Lamar. He does it without weapons. He never really had fantastic. We had Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, and Jacoby Jones and stuff like that. So it's probably better than what Lamar's playing with at the moment. But yeah, he willed the Ravens across the line that year. He played. That's one of the best postseasons we've seen in a long time for someone we weren't the best in the regular season that year.
Well, especially since like Lamar just hasn't been able to make it in postseason. Flacco was there. But anyways, he's obviously not running at their back. So, look, I think it'll be a fun game, especially with what Trevor Lawrence did on the weekend with the Jags. Like, that was unreal. Like, just that was some real good football, like back and forward. I mean, the Cowboys really had their chance to stamp their authority. Like, they made the playoffs regardless. But I think it was really their chance to really close out a nice game. And it was interesting to sort of see the Jags come back and manage to, you know, win as they did.
Oh, yeah. I reckon some of these games, we'll talk about these now, like the games over this week were freaking excellent. There were teams that were just not expecting to perform, have performed. And look, the Jags are on a high, and I think they're every chance to take out the South.
Yeah, 100%. Like, what are they sitting at? Only a couple of games behind the Titans at the moment.
6-8, I think, compared to 7-7, I believe, is the record. And the Titans have a tougher run home, I believe. And Tannehill's out for the season.
Well, that actually might be good for them, but...
Yeah, true. No. But they signed Josh Dobbs. So if Astro Dobbs can do it, then it's either him or...
Well, what do you got to... You got to play against the Titans, Astro Dobbs. Colts have ruled out Jonathan Taylor for the rest of the year. He's on IR. They've also dumped... Matty Ryan. So I think who is starting for them again? It's
it's not Ellinger, is it?
No. Who took Philly? Why can't I?
Oh, Foles.
Nick Foles is going to do another 2018. Yes, 2018 repeats itself again. Mm-hmm. Will it come forward? I mean, obviously, Matty Ryan isn't in MVP conversation like Wentz was at that time. But I mean, is this 2018 repeating itself?
Oh, look, I really hope it is. I really hope the Colts can just drag it back with Nick Foles under center. They'll send some money his way, and then he'll absolutely stink in 2023.
Well, I mean, it would be an absolute miracle between Jeff Saturday, who is basically just like a high school like hype man, and Nick Foles, who is I don't know. Like, he's just a backup extraordinaire, really. He hasn't been able to shine in the limelight, but for some reason, the kid just knows how to play for three games, and that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, if we look at this Jags run home, and it should set up for an absolute corker in the final round. They got the Jets this week, the Texans, and then they finish off with the Titans. Now, hopefully, the Titans, just looking at their schedule just quickly, they have – where am I sitting here? They now have the Texans as well. Probably should win. The Cowboys will probably need to get themselves a win and then finish with the Jaguars. If they drop one to the Cowboys – and Jaguars win there too.
If they go loss,
That sets it up for the finale, which I reckon could be the best one of the final week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be excited to see what T. Law could do in the finals. Like, he's been playing lights out lately. I mean, and that's why we talk about like these guys that win the Natties back in college. He won one with Clemson, didn't he? Yeah, in that freshman year. Yeah. So we talk about these guys that win the Natties, like a lot of them go into obscurity, but like we've had him and Burrow. They were the generational talents. That's what everyone knew that. Burrow came good year two after the ACL, and now T. Law after a year and a half. Damn, that man is coming, boy. And this is why they are the generational talent.
Correct. Oh, and they've got a bright future, the Jaguars. They've spent big in the offseason, which is great, but they've got some picks and I think they're just building. I'm really keen to see Jaguar Duval really turn it back up again. I think Lawrence is not underrated, but I think he's probably not appreciated enough. In his last 6 weeks, he's just been excellent. The Ravens have played it into form, and he's looking phenomenal.
And they just need something to cheer about. I mean, ever since that, it might have been even 2018 when they made it to the AFC Championship with Bortles. Like, I mean,
correct.
That was Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette, Blake Bortles. Like, holy shit. Like, imagine Blake Bortles getting to an AFC Championship game and having a sniff of a Super Bowl.
If Blake Bortles won a Super Bowl, I think I'd have to give it away.
Well, I can't even imagine. I don't even know where that man is now. He's running the XFL or something, but he might even be a backup somewhere. But look, credit to you, Blake Bortles. You did what most of us couldn't, and you willed him there. Another Blake that willed him there, but we love that. So I suppose looking at a couple of things that have been going on, a big thing I want to talk about, this isn't game-related, but, like, this is wild. Have you heard the story about the Chiefs superfan?
Oh, my God, yes. I did read a quick thing about that. Holy Jesus.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, with all the World Cup going on and soccer hooligans and all that, I mean – they just seem to have the craziest fans. But then comes along this guy. Holy shit.
Well, it was before a game, wasn't it? Like, right before a game.
Well, I think that's how he was affording it. So, if anyone's not aware, there was a Chiefs super fan that was arrested the other week for robbing banks. Now, how they caught him was he dressed up in like a wolf mask to Chiefs games.
Yeah.
And he used the exact same mask to rob the banks. And that's how they connected him to this guy.
Holy shit. I mean, you're talking dumb. That is just idiotic crime. Like, I don't know how often was it only one time that he did it, or did he do it?
No, I think it was a couple of times. Yeah. And he was, I don't know, he was sort of like bragging. There's things on his Instagram where he's bragging about like how much money he makes and things like that. And like, there was a couple of tweets of like having to get away from the cops and stuff. And it's just like, oh my God, this guy is insane, man. Like, you just cannot get any better.
Yeah, the desperation to go and watch his boy. I mean, they're going to win anyway. Just hold off, champ, and just save yourself some money for the Super Bowl and you'll end up there.
I know. Where are the fans at the normal games? Remember when we actually, fair enough, we went to a game, remember, a couple of years ago. We went to that college game in Sydney. Oh, it was a Hawaii big cow. Deadest game I've ever been to. Where were the fans then? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right, actually. Yeah, it was. It's not the pinnacle we thought it was going to be, but that's okay.
It was a tough day at Sydney Stadium. I remember that. Well, I remember being sick that day. We had a big night the night before.
Yeah, Chinese laundry into college football really isn't the one that gets you over the line.
No, not at all. So, but look, hoping they come back again. I mean, that was actually a fun experience.
Yeah.
But looking, I mean, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see if they, I probably never get an NFL game. Like, let's be honest, and not a regular season.
Unless it's
preseason. Game.
Yeah, correct. That's right.
Like, it's just too far away, I suppose. And like, considering their short weeks and such the big flight, like, you can see why they're able to do the European games because it's just like, it's just like a domestic flight from here.
Yeah,
to
it's
Perth
not a huge.
Something.
Yeah, well, correct. Across country, like west to east, is probably the same as going to Germany or London or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but bring the student section back. I'm keen. We want to have more sushi pies after a Chinese laundry night at Sydney Football Stadium, listening to the cow cannon go off after every try. They belted Hawaii.
Yeah, the bit of PTSD coming back for you there. But yeah, it was a day out and a half. You had the shakes by halftime. Buzz had left because he just had enough and burst a few capillaries from the night before. But look, good day out, and hopefully we can get another one. Looking at, this one has to be talked about from last week, the Colts. If Matty Ryan couldn't get over the fact that he blew the biggest Super Bowl lead ever, he has then gone out and blown the biggest lead ever in NFL history of 33-0 to lose 39-36.
It's
what's doing.
It's outstanding, right? Like 30-0 and a half. And it's crazy that you could only score 3 points in the next half. Like, what were you doing? I mean,
what do you lay it down to almost? Like, the Vikings clearly came out of the second half firing. Defense looked good. But, yeah, 3 points when you've already laid out 33.
Yeah, I mean, you were rolling. You were beating primetime Kirk. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is a nationally televised game as well, and you go and pull up that sort of shit. I don't know. Maybe this is like a Jeff Saturday problem. Like, I thought he was a hype man, so he must have just... I don't know. Does he not know how to hold a lead? Like, the only thing he knows how to do is build guys up and be like, come on, I'll get you back from behind. But if you're ahead, that's a problem. I can't do that for your luck.
Oh, the halftime speeches, the disparity between the two, I can't imagine what they would have said in those locker rooms.
Mate, they must have been sharing a wall and just been scared by what the Vikings were doing next door. Like, just skull, skull, skull. I don't know, but Kirk Cousins just came out and he played lights out. He ended up with like 400-odd yards, four tutties, like... And he just ran right. He was having his way with them, wasn't he? They just had...
Yeah, well...
We couldn't stop him.
Yeah, well, quick shout-out to him because we had him in our fantasy team. Really, team selection committee this week in the first week of finals. We'll touch on this very briefly because I don't think there's much more to say. Kirk was on about 2 or 3 points at halftime. I thought, fuck beauty, we've picked the right winner here. Ends up with 460 yards, four TDs, and about 34 points. Now, he wouldn't have got us the win, but it would have made the game a little closer because the rest of our selections also stunk. Pat Freiermuth, quick shout out to that piece of shit, or Mitch Trubisky, because fuck me, if you just want to block all day and get 0 points in the most crucial game, I know you don't care about fantasy, but some of us do.
Yeah, I mean, flags are at half mast really for Gridiron Guys Fantasy. I know we've got to pick ourselves up again and play a fifth place playoff. But
I've deleted the app. The app's gone.
Yeah,
sleeper
good,
app.
Good,
it's already been
good,
deleted.
I need to clear
some space for some more stuff, good. So that's gone.
Good. I mean, look, all I can say is, one, after last week's pod, I did think about, like, damn, we should have said more shit about Aussie NFL Fantasy Show, you know, because we had their number. We were absolutely had an absolute piece of ass for a team. Like, it was smoking. And look, I will say, you know, for the guys, I'm happy we backed the ones that got us there, but possibly, yes, we should have tinkered a little bit and maybe used our bench, because when they outscore you, when the seven bench players outscore you, 11 team players, that hurts. So, look, no credit to you, Aussie NFL Fantasy, because it was our fault that we lost, not your actual good team.
I'd love to hear that, Matty. Sorry about
that. And, look, we probably deserve the bye anyway. It's probably Manjot, who's the commissioner, who twingled the rules so he could get the head-to-head against us. So, again, collusion is probably at its highest here. I won't go away. I will go down swinging, and we'll see you next year. All right, motherfuckers?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back. Manjot, we will need to probably change the commissioner because it seems to have worked in your favour very nicely for you and Taylor. I mean, Taylor's team is fucking outrageous at the same time. But, yeah, look, so Vikings got away with probably the best win we've seen in a very long time. I mean, other than that, mean, the
Chiefs. Well, I don't know. There was huge. Bills beat Dolphins was a good game.
Yeah, yep,
but
yep.
Like, how about the ending to the Patriots and the Raiders? Holy shit. Jacoby Myers might want to stay away from any of the fans because that was a shocker.
Oh, my God. Like, what is the thought process there? I mean, it's gone out the window. Like, take a knee, go to overtime, do whatever you need to do.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not even like they were losing. Like, they were actually tying. Like, there's no issue with you getting tackled. Like, it's not like this is, oh, there is no tomorrow. You actually had tomorrow 15 minutes as well.
Yep.
So, I don't know what he was thinking. And he clearly must have thought that the guy was blending into the turf as well, because he just threw it absolutely straight to him. And then poor old Mac Jones got absolutely pummeled 6 feet under into that ground. Yeah. Like his helmet might still be in that turf as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Mac Jones didn't get up very quickly from that. Chandler Jones made him his bitch in that one. Look, yeah, the scenes in that was absolutely wild. Like, there's no explanation for what actually happened there. I think that's going to go down as the biggest absolute howler of the season.
Yep, huge. And I think finally, wrapping it up, look, Baker Mayfield turned up again. He did. His original self turned up because after last week, we thought Baker may actually be able to play football. Now we know Baker May can't play football.
No, he can't. That is a fucking
horrific. And he may throw an interception again.
But he's learned the playbook, and he's clearly learned the playbook too well because he doesn't know how to actually play. Like, he was just flying by the seat of his pants that first week, and he managed to jag a win. And now he knows the playbook. They were horrible, which, funnily enough, keeps the Packers' hopes alive somehow.
Well, and I mean, speaking of their division, we talked about the other AFC division, but their division is actually probably one of the other hotly contested ones.
Yep.
I mean, the Lions, six in a row now.
The Lions are looking hot.
Like, Vikings have clinched the division, but the wild card is still there, like, for the Lions, because they're 7-7. And when you're looking at the NFC, like, there's probably, like, I would only say there's probably maybe three, maybe four teams that I would actually think that could win the NFC. You've got the Eagles.
For me, yep.
Yeah, you've got the Eagles. Possibly the Cowboys still, but definitely San Francisco. And see, that's probably my three. Maybe Minnesota could slip in, but that's what I'm thinking, probably more three. And even then, Dallas, I don't think they can do it in the tough.
No, that's the to me, NFC is exceptionally weak, I would say. Yeah, there's three for me, and you nailed it as well. I thought you were going to say Vikings. I was like, I don't agree, but Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, and I think 49ers are probably the weaker of the bunch there in terms of Brock Purdy has got to play playoffs and it's not going to last forever.
Well, and that's what I thought, like three, maybe four. Like, Vikings might slip in every now and again, but depends if you got primetime Kirk or not.
Yeah, geez. I think they sort of fall off pretty quickly. But yeah, look, great week 15. It leaves for a very exciting run into the playoffs. There's a lot of teams still in contention, especially in the AFC. So I think the next few weeks are going to be exciting.
I like that. And then leading into it, there was obviously we're getting to the end of the season, but Pro Bowl came out today.
It did.
What were your thoughts? I suppose like biggest snub to start with has probably got to be Tua. That man is so unlucky.
Yeah, it's got to be Tua or Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian McCaffrey played unbelievably this year, especially when a change of team. He's been awesome. JC Horn's probably another name. Andrew Thomas is another name. I'm just going to rattle off a few that I think probably, should be there. I'm trying to. Those are probably the main ones, I would say. Cam Hayward is another one that I've seen sort of floated about.
Huge.
The rest, I think you could probably almost say they've nailed most of them. But yeah, that there's a few snubs there.
Well, I suppose, who
would you put Tua in for?
Probably. That's the hard thing. I mean, but my thing with Tua is, I get like you probably can't swap him out with everyone. But the fact is, the Tua got actually the most votes out of any player. So most fan votes. And I mean, that is supposed to count for 1/3. So it probably does show you how much people in the league actually think of him compared to other people, because he got so many more votes. Look, I mean, it's hard to move between Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. I mean, guys are clearly the best three quarterbacks, like no doubt with my mind. They're the best three quarterbacks in the AFC right now, except for Russell Wilson when he's good. But I think just on like form and what he's done this year, Tua should have been up there.
I mean, if you look at Tua right now, pass rating first, pass touchdown intercept first, pass touchdown attempts first, yards completions first. Yeah. So, yeah, it seems seeing him probably have the strongest case of the biggest snubs.
Absolutely. But otherwise, what about flipping over to the other side, big snubs, but how about big wins? Geno Smith, what a big one. He's had a great year. And he's come through with a selection. I mean, that's huge for the guy, isn't it? What's his 10th year or something? And now he's finally managing to live up to the expectations that he had coming out of college.
Yeah, oh, he certainly is. And I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic for the Seahawks, whether they stick with him or not. But yeah, Pro Bowl selection probably jumps up his value, which is unfortunate for them, but that's okay. Like, I think it's something that's earned. He's done very well there. So I credit to him. You couldn't find anyone else that probably deserves it outside of him in the NFC.
No, they've been pretty placid. So it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. Obviously, a new setup and things like that. No actual game. I believe it's just the skill games. Coached by both the Manning brothers.
Yep.
As always, go AFC. We'll be backing them because Peyton is obviously better than Eli. We all know that. That's for sure. You would know. UT alum.
Yeah, look, Peyton every day. Eli's a fucking stinker. But that's okay.
Yeah, so moving on from the Pro Bowl, as we sort of said, it's that time of the year. It's getting close to the end of the season. Pro Bowl's out. College football bowls are running. But that brings in the new thing, Christmas. We are keen for that one, aren't we? I know I'm ready to tuck into a bit of food. How about you? You got any big plans coming up for the weekend?
We sort of have to chop and change between where we go. My partner's parents live down the South Coast, so it's a lovely spot to go. So this year we'll be heading down there. Pretty relaxed Christmas. Young fella's second Christmas. So, but he doesn't understand what the hell that is. So we'll just get him a few presents. He should be right to go. What about yourself?
Perfect. Nah, heading up to the sunny coast, actually, up to Brisbane. Ooh. Oh, I'm really keen to get away from this joint. It's just this. I'm in the middle of December, and it doesn't make it make sense because I am in the middle of December. As much as I do like wearing my winter fits to work, because you know I got to be honest, I got some good stuff. But it's fucking December, and I'm working out in like a jumper and a jacket to work every day. So
it's ludicrous.
I'm keen to get up there and you know just enjoy some rays and then come back before work starts again next year. But the biggest thing, obviously, for Christmas Day is food. So we thought we're going to try something interesting here, but we're going to have the Christmas Day food draft. So we're going to obviously get this posted up and get all your thoughts and things like that. But we're going to pick our top foods. I think, what have we got, a list of 10 or 12 or something like that?
Yeah, so I think we're going to go, obviously, like we've seen on TikTok lately, people have been doing drafts. So we'll go pick for pick. Before we started, you got first pick. And so we'll have six picks back to back and we'll obviously see who's got the best lineup for Christmas Day.
I know it's tough, and especially getting the number one pick. Obviously, like it's good because you get to get your number one. But I think there's a lot of weight that gets held in this sort of pick sometimes, and I think you don't want to overthink it. As in draft day, with Sonny goes in, he gets the number one pick. He knows what to do. He just goes back his gut, and I think that's what I'm going to have to do. I was tossing up between a few different options. There were some good ones there. I mean, I might just give them away, but there was obviously like prawns is just a big winner there. Seafood we know is huge. Couple other ones like a Christmas trifle, even the old fruitcake gets a bit of a run with the oldies sometimes as number one. But for me, it's got to be the homemade pavlova. I think it just ties up the night so well. I cannot get enough of some of that meringue as well, and just the mixture and the fruit. It's going to be my number one pick this year with the Christmas food draft.
That's a huge number one pick, actually. I thought you were going to go, you've gone dessert early. You've gone dessert first, and that's understandable. Like, I can appreciate that. A good pav is delicious for those playing at home that aren't from Australia, New Zealand, that sort of area. Pavlova, like, meringue, bit of cream, bit of fruit. You can't beat it on a nice summer's day. But this has landed nicely in my lap. If I got number one pick, I knew what I was going to go. You can't beat it. I think you're just going to have to go. Pick number one for me is the Christmas ham. Glazed, no glaze, whatever you want.
Yep.
The Christmas ham, and it lasts for days. I think the next few days you're going to have ham sandwiches, and you just can't beat a nice, glorious Christmas ham.
Jeez, I'm glad you wasted that there because I'm going to go against you. I'm not big on the ham on the Christmas day. The cold cuts, look, I get it. It's nice. It's lastable. But I swear to God, it's overused, and I would have had it a mid pick or even late round. To be honest, for me, that and the turkey, you can go put it in your ass. I'm having a barbecue and prawns all day of the week. So, look, that's going to bring up my number two pick. What I was hoping for is the prawns and the seafood cocktail sauce. That shit goes down, man. I tell you what, our best decision ever with our family Christmas was to stop going to other people's houses. We just stayed home. We have kilos and kilos of prawns to ourselves. I cannot think of anything better.
Yeah, look, it's a good pick, and I can appreciate that. I don't know if it's a huge thing overseas. Like, prawns on a winter's day probably isn't the best. Summer, sitting out there. But the prawns have a chance to go off in the sun. So, look, there could be a few people with some upset stomachs after prawns, and there's a few people with some shellfish allergies. Ben Hughes, if you're listening.
Shout out.
So, yeah, look, good pick two. For pick two for me, I think I'm going to have to – We got a lot of meat in there, but if you're going to have any meat on your, like, your Christmas day is set up, like, you're going to have your entree, you've got your dessert, you need to fill in the middle. Now, I am going to pair mine with some gravy.
Oh.
I think gravy goes well on everything, and I think if I get the gravy in early, you're going to have some dry meat there. I think if you have some turkey or some pork, it's going to be a little dry potentially.
Pretty salty.
Can keep in the moisture in those meats, and she could, Amanda, well played if you can. But
she knows how to wet that meat. Yeah.
gravy, yeah, holy dooly. Yeah. Gravy really tops it off. So I'm going to go gravy to pair with my ham. So that is my number two pick.
Yeah, shout out to it is actually, yesterday was gravy day, so it's a good time to do this. Look, for the number three, so number five pick of the draft, for me, you just sort of touched on a little bit there, pork, not just the pork though, the pork crackling. Oh. Yeah, there you go. There it is. With the number five pick, pork crackling. Don't let me say any more because it sells itself. Thank you.
Yeah. Look, that's probably my biggest downfall there. I really should have gone the crackle because that is a fucking house favorite for me. I never used to like it as a child, and I didn't understand why everyone raved about it and that it'd go so quickly, but I grew up, I matured, and I developed some taste buds because pork crackle, by God, is absolutely glorious. But look, could be a little dry for you again without some gravy.
Oh, well.
So with my third pick and the sixth overall pick, to go with my gravy, to go with my ham, I'm going to have some roast taters.
Oh, look at you. You're just bringing out the Sunday roast. Man, that is a good... Are you dishing any like sour cream on this? Or are you putting like potato jackets?
No. We're not having a baked potato. We're having roast taters. So it's just seasoned nicely.
Yeah,
bit of gravy on top. So that's my roast taters there.
Yeah, love that. All right, moving on to the next pick, number seven. I'm going to go a little bit of desserty here. A bit of naughty, bit of nice. The chocolate rumbles, Nana's rumbles. Hey,
You might get a little pissed if you have a few too many of those.
Yeah, I think so. We might be a bit wobbly in the backyard cricket after a couple of these ones. Don't drive after this bad boy if you know what's good for you.
Yeah, Nana's rumbles. She adds a little extra shot to it sometimes in Christmas just to spice things up, doesn't she?
Oh yeah, she knows how to really get the party swinging.
Yeah, okay, well, not a bad pick. Probably not something I wouldn't go for. Now look, I don't have any dessert yet. And I'm not 100% sure which way to go with this. I want another meat. I think ham's probably not just going to cut it. And I'm going to have to go.
Is he going
to
go the Holy Trinity and get the turkey in, are you?
Yeah, I think for pick four, I'm going to have to go turkey.
Turkey, wow. Big call.
The big gobbler. Yeah, the big gobbler of pick four.
Yeah. Not bad. Don't mind. I mean, you've gone that far. You've got the gravy. You've got the ham. You've got the turkey. I mean, you've got the potatoes. What more do you want with that sort of thing? That is an absolute delight. And the best thing is we don't make friends with salad and there's none of that shit there.
Yeah, correct. Greens are out. No one's picking those.
Speaking of salad, though, that's going to be my next pick. Potato salad and coleslaw. Bang. House staple. Yeah, number five. Yeah, look, it's not the best, but it's certainly a late round pick. And that's what I've got with my number five pick today.
Yeah, it's nice. It's glorious. You do sometimes need a little bit of a palate cleanser, a bit of a salad. Now I think I'm going to leave dessert to last because I think you've already grabbed one. So I think you need the dessert. I think you can't have a Christmas day without a little dessert, but I think I need something else sweet with my mains, and I'm going to go an apple sauce on the ham, on the turkey, bit of gravy, bit of apple sauce. I think you can't go wrong. A little bit of tang for my meal.
Oh, all right. What's that leave us up to the last pick of the day?
Pick six. Yeah, pick six.
All right, pick six. This is a good last pick for me because I think, you know, it's a Christmas staple, but you just don't like it. But you just know you do what's right because it's the Christmas day and you need some Christmas beers. The Crown Lager with the number six pick. God. There it is. Lock it in.
Yeah. Look, I'd actually thought about this Crown. Now, this is a bit of an inside joke for us. Crown Lager is apparently a Christmas beer.
There's no other time that you could respectably have a Crown Lager. And if anyone is having a Crown Lager outside of Christmas, I think you might need to go get yourself checked because there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. So that's a big shout out to David Gibson from Dora Creek. I think he's a Melbourne bitter man, but really likes tucking into the crowns. It's a special treat at Christmas. So look, your guests aren't going to go thirsty. That's your lineup there, 1-6. Yep, now, I think I'm going to have to leave my guests a little thirsty because I need dessert. I think it's okay if you don't have something to drink. They're going to be a bit bored. There are a few libations maybe have to come later, but for my last pick, I'm just going to have to go Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
It's a little bit exciting when you're a kid. Someone pours a little bit of alcohol over it, lights it up, and that's a little bit exciting. So bit of Christmas pudding, gets a bit of fruit, gets a bit of sweetness, a bit of cream, a bit of custard, whatever you want with it, and that tops off our Christmas dinner.
Huge win there. That was a great draft there. So make sure you get tagged and have a look at that sort of stuff. We'll be putting up a few more of those and certainly tucking into a few of these on Christmas Day. I know I'm looking forward to a few of these guys.
Absolutely.
Look, speaking of the Christmas thing, we were talking about this the other day as well. Again, another game, another fun time. We were talking about your Christmas like lineup. And I know there was like a couple of other things. Who would play your games for you? And I think like we got to pick an offensive lineup. We were talking about this the other day of your Christmas characters. So like, for example, you've got to get Santa Claus on the front line there. Hold that offensive line because that fat motherfucker is not letting anyone through. No one is going to touch your quarterback with that man. He's going to create the cleanest pocket out there.
Yeah, the big jolly man would not let you down up front. I think from left tackle to right tackle, anywhere in between, I think the big jolly boy with his beard and his gut is not letting anyone through. Now, I don't know if you just want to have every same Santa, but do we have a few little surprise Santas in there? Billy Bob Thornton as bad Santa in there. You could have Tim Allen from A Christmas Miracle in there as the, yep. I don't know, who else would you like on the offensive front?
Shit, I think, what am I thinking? I swear, I've drawn a blank. They're the main ones, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're the main ones. The rest of us are cartoony, like Polar
Express. We're talking about five aside. So we just need one Santa. And I think that's what he's going to do. He's big. He's fat. He's going to hold the line for us. It's going to take an age to get around him. So, yeah, that was my man for the front there. Who are we looking at the quarterback, really? Who would be lining up for us on quarterback in the Christmas lineup?
There's probably a few good options out there, but I think we sort of talked about this and we landed on, and it's contentious because sometimes people don't call this a Christmas movie, but it's on the Christmas list on Netflix. The Die Hard series, John McClane at quarterback. I think you can't go wrong.
No, that man can diagnose any situation. He can understand. He understands it from levels, doesn't he? He can just break it down play by play. And shoes aren't compulsory for him. He doesn't even need that sort of stuff, and he can work it out. And he's got a few tricks up his sleeve too, doesn't he? Watch out for those Hans Grubers out there. You know, you got to watch out for him.
Yeah, look, we're not losing there. Our front set, our quarterback set. Now, we probably need a running back. Who are you liking at running back?
I'm getting the Grinch, man. I'm looking at the Grinch. That sneaky motherfucker, he can steal Christmas and he can also steal those short yardages that you need. You just need that guy to sneak across in those third and shorts, and that's my man. The Grinch from Hoosville.
Good pick. I like that. That's a good running back. I think we'll grab a few sneaky yards there. And across our line, like he's just gonna run there.
Yeah, what else we got? We got wide receiver left and probably a tight end. What are we looking at next?
I wasn't sure on wide receiver, so I'll probably go a tight end here. And I think we both agreed you need a big guy. When something comes to mind, we think of Will Ferrell as Elf. I think Elf has to be our tight end. I think the man is built like a brick shit house, but can run. We know Frank the Tank in old school, the man can run. So we're going we'll have to have him at tight end, Elf at tight end.
He was such a huge guy, wasn't he? I mean, you just thought this man would like tower over everyone in that movie, and then you realize he's living amongst elves. So great movie, that one. Look, we're looking at our wide receivers now. So someone who can catch and make moves for us, who's a bit slippery out there in the wide out. There's a couple of guys I was looking at. Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Also the Ghost of Christmas Past. He'd be hard to catch out there on the wides. But for me, it's got to be Jack Frost. I mean, he's just a playmaker, isn't he? He basically runs the snow and he can move the weather to his bidding. And I think that's what we need. I mean, you saw it in Buffalo on the weekend. You just need a little bit of luck on your side.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's a fantastic pick. I think we could probably have two. I think you could probably have Skellington on the opposite side, just cleaning up a little bit like a Devonta Smith, skinny Durant almost like of the NBA. But yeah,
that's
just
what I mean.
A skinny,
slim,
long-rangey man.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great pick. So that probably where does that leave us? We've cleaned it up. Do we have anyone on our bench?
Yeah, look, sorry, as always, we forget Kelvin McAllister, just like his parents did from Home Alone fame. He got forgotten four times in those movies, so it's unfortunate, but we've done the same thing, and we've left him out on the bench to sit there in the cold for us.
Perfect. Look, I think this lineup probably wins any day of the week. We probably should have started these blokes in fantasy over what we already had. So, yeah, that's our Christmas Day lineup for offense. So we're not going to do defense. I think that's probably a bit tricky, but, yeah, I think we'll post it up and see what you think, see if you've had anyone different.
Love that. Touch in with us. So, look, wrap us up. Let's do a couple of things. Big one was college football as well. Transfer portal opened today, and it was huge, man. Like, it's gone off lately. And I think it was interesting. I saw one. I think there's about, like, 1,300 players or something in college football.
Yep.
And about over 1,000 or so entered the transfer portal. So, I mean, that's just huge considering, like, how many guys How many, I suppose, like the way that it's opened up and just the ability for guys to move from team to team to team now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, JT Daniels is the perfect example. You posted about him the other day, just collecting uniforms. I mean, he's going to start his career with a Georgia undergraduate degree and finish with a Rice postgraduate degree. So the man's thinking long game, isn't he?
I mean, he's technically got a natty as well. I mean, he literally is the epitome of that guy who has just worked his way from, like, the top level, and he's just working his way down the levels. So maybe Rice will be where he can actually play. He's just like the guy that drops back to twos to, you know, win the awards and stuff and finally make himself look good.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, it was signing day as well as transfer portal, and the transfer portal ended up with the business-minded Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter said, I need 100,000 subscribers on YouTube before I announce my decision. So he's built up his YouTube. He's going to get views.
Huge. Yeah.
He has followed. I mean, he's followed Deion Sanders to Colorado. Now, I don't know how I feel about this. Deion talked about building up these historically black colleges, and making it back into the limelight. And then he's done that. Jackson State's been fantastic. But now he's left. The players are leaving mass exodus, and he's taken the number one player with him. I don't know. I don't know if Colorado will be that good, but it's an interesting one to see.
I think I'm a bit torn on it because I know that he has certainly brought a lot more light to the HBCUs, and I think he's brought a lot more credit to them. You know, like a lot more guys are watching those games now because of what he's done, whereas previously they wouldn't have sort of looked at him. I think it's also given other guys a chance to move from, okay, yes, I think he wanted to build up the HBCU, but I suppose there's only probably so much he could do. Now he's moved from that into a Power 5. And now he has himself essentially created a pathway from that HBCU to the next level. And so I think, yes, it would have been nice to see him get bigger and bigger, but I suppose inside, because they're not in FBS either. So I suppose inside of that level, it was only so big they could go. So now they're, I think it's good because, as I said, it's allowing a pathway for those guys to move into somewhere like Colorado, who obviously have the money and the backing to be able to create this thing. And I think it's going to be interesting because it shows that people want to go somewhere that, I mean, Colorado is a dust team. What, they win like 2 games this year? Not even.
Yeah, they're not relevant. They haven't been relevant for a long time. They used to be. I think they used to be really good.
But, I mean, it shows that, like, these kids want to go and play for someone, you know, rather than, say, running straight to an Alabama or Georgia where they sit, you know, fourth or fifth string and they're not going to play anyway. They'd rather go to somewhere like with Jackson and at Colorado and be able to be there and at least, okay, if I'm not going to play, if I'm not going to win, I'm going to become a better guy and I'm going to become a better footballer and I'm going to become, you know, a better person or, you know, and it's somewhere that these families are happy to send their kids as well. Yeah. So I think certainly it is providing that sort of pathway for those. So, I mean, maybe not building up the HBCU, but he's certainly providing a pathway for those kids that may have been in the HBCU to now go to that next level.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair outlook on it. It's interesting, though, going from FCS to a Power 5 school, which is just sort of skipping everything over. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform. Outside of Travis Hunter, like, who was a clear number one prospect last year, I'd be curious to see how his son goes at court. I think Sanders has gone there as a quarterback.
Yeah, there was a couple, wasn't there?
Yeah. Now, look, when you talk about money before, now that's an interesting one when we talk about college. It's probably one you don't think about, but it's one that's probably played into itself today. And across the recruiting process, it shows who has the most money in their bag of the NIL deals, who's got the best partnerships. I mean, Oregon cleaned up today, so clearly Oregon's got a bit of money. Alabama has always picked up a few more five stars. They've got 6 five-star players now. They picked up 2 today, and among others. So, look, it does show that money talks still at this level.
Well, I think the interesting thing that money probably was occurring regardless. I think now it's just really unchecked and people are just like, and you know what people are like, if they've got big checks that they just are not even being worried about what they spend, they just fucking fire off their loads so quickly, no one even notices. Like, there is just stupendous money going around here. And I think it's going to be good because really this is going to come back and they're going to put levels on it. But I think it's good that these guys are able to be able to cash in at least and sort of make, because these athletes, they make so much money off these athletes and probably what they're getting is like a fraction of what they're making for these guys. So I think good on them for starters, and they may as well cash in while the going's good because yes, eventually the NCAA will rein this in.
Yeah, I agree. And I love it. I think I'm happy with them getting money. It's just sort of hard for those other smaller schools. If it wasn't hard before, it's definitely a lot harder now. Yeah. The disparity could be even greater. And I guess we'll see it play out over the years, as you said before, NCAA potentially rein it in if there's issues.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe like something like a salary cap like they do in the NFL will happen.
Yeah, that's like true, that. Actually, yeah.
But or like a FIFA Fair Play that's actually governed. but, you know, like I think something's got to happen because they definitely need the money. But, yeah, possibly this is a way to keep it checked, really. And I mean, good on them. And let's sort of see how this plays out, especially with the divisions moving around. I know a lot of these schools will be moving divisions, and that's going to change the money as well, because obviously the money that comes in with these broadcasts for some like the SEC and the Big Ten is going to be a lot bigger for some of these like conference of fives or like Pac-12 and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of, I did see a sneaky rumor today that USC wants to go. Was it USC? No, UCLA. It wasn't USC. No, it was Texas wants to go to the Big Ten instead of the SEC, which will leave already Oklahoma on its own. Yeah, wow. there's rumors of that floating about. So then that leaves Oklahoma sitting on its own, and the SEC they'll take two teams only.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's big because like, what do they do with like Red River and those sorts of things? Because obviously that's going to be the big draw card, like Red River.
Oh yeah.
And Texas obviously still, it brings a crowd regardless of how shit it is. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma is always just a decent program.
Always, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Interesting move there by Texas.
Yeah, because I think it was Texas, Kansas, surprisingly, and two others. They were talking about four teams going across, which would absolutely cook the Big 12. So, I mean, it could be anything. I don't know, but that's just a rumor I saw.
Yeah, all hearsay from here. But, college fun with college football, bowls rolling up. Look, credit also to our man, Tommy Ellard. He come away with the New Orleans Bowl this morning. One of those guys that doesn't do any work in the group project but still gets all the full marks. So shout out to him. I think he got two punts in the end maybe, but I don't think we even saw him till the third quarter.
Well played. Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. We talked about that. It must be a tough position to play. Yeah, correct. That's right. He's done exceptional in his first season. We love Tommy. And we're not having a dig, but it is funny that position of like, I mean, normally in our sports we're used to playing all the time and these guys sort of might not even get a kick. They might get two. They might get three. They might get 10 if your team's really struggling. But, you sort of are always got to be ready, but you might not have to do a whole lot.
I think that shows the mettle, though, to be able to just switch on like that.
It is that mental
and
game.
Do your perfect every time. And, like, you may only be called on once or twice.
Butcher that one time.
No, well, exactly. Like, but to be able to deliver consistently, I mean, that's a credit to him. I know I flow in and out of games so badly sometimes. that's the reason why I'm still playing country footy. Like,
we didn't really make those big times, did we?
That's all right, but they can still look good in front of the crowd out at Gambane and those 400 people. So
that's right.
It's like trying to make myself live in the dream. But anyways, we live and we learn.
We do. So congrats to Tommy. There's going to be a lot of other Aussies that are going to be playing in bowl games. So we'll probably hopefully post those as they come along.
Yeah. So huge ups on them. I think we look forward to next week. Starting off with a huge game, Jags versus Jets. And I think we should bring back a little bet of the week, shouldn't we? We were looking at this one today. I mean, the interesting thing, as we said, like Zach Wilson is playing. So for me, 100%, the Jaguars are going to win this fucking by a mile. And sitting at $2.07, that's a steal for me.
Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. We wanted to sort of make a multi. And the only way we're going to be able to do this is probably the Friday game, Thursday night football game. So, we're going to go head-to-head each week. We'll go head-to-head, an anytime touchdown scorer, and a player prop, unless we like a line. So we sometimes do like a line, but that's okay. We will go. So, what did you say? Jacksonville Jaguars at 207.
Yep, bang. Hit it.
And so, anytime touchdown score. Now, we want to feed the hot hand. I saw he had three touchdowns last week. So, this is why you like him. And at $4,
it's not bad. I mean, sneaky. You got to look at either him or like Christian Kirk is at like 390. I don't hate that. You were sort of talking about.
Depends on
who
gets sauce, I suppose.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think Kirk will get sauce, won't he?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Kirk's been playing really well lately and he's actually living up to his price tag, which is quite good. So I think Zay Jones is a good option. I mean, you've obviously got Garrett Wilson as well on the other side. I do like him. Or probably Elijah Moore, but I feel like he's not getting as much ball as we would like lately.
Well, especially with Zach Wilson, we're just really not sure what's going to be slung out there. So we've got it. And our final one for the player prop, and this guy's also feeding the hot hand, who's been having a big few weeks. Evan Engram, 41.5 yards. We're going to go the overs for him. So we've got an all Jags lineup here for the multi.
Yep.
That gives us in 11.75 if you have a power play for the day and haven't wasted it on some Korean ping pong, it brings you up to 13.35.
Duval, baby, Duval. But I mean, look at that. Gamble responsibly. And then also hit all the Detroit Lions wide receivers against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday.
That's true. So look, that's our first game of the week. That's our multi for it. We've got Jacksonville to win. Is there any games that sort of play any part in the playoffs this week? Like, I think that's probably what we need to look at. Is there anyone that sort of has any play on the actual end of the season?
Look, possibly Giants v. Vikings here is a big one. That's an NFC matchup. I suppose Giants are looking to solidify. They beat the Commanders, so I think that might knock the Commanders out of contention. They may be wild card, but I think because of obviously people playing against each other and things like that, I think that makes their road a little bit harder. And obviously the Vikings want to be making a statement. Like, everyone's out there calling them a fraud and those sorts of things. And I think, to be fair, they are fraudulent. Like, I would be looking at their tender. If they came up and gave me a bill, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to double check this. You know, this doesn't look so kosher. Whether it is or not a real bill, we're going to have to find out this week. And I think that's the best way to make your mark. Like, this Giants team, not amazing, but it is still an 8-win team. Like, I can't blame them. If you come up against an 8-win team and get the win, that's a good win.
Yeah, correct. Oh, I absolutely agree. They haven't been great lately, but yeah, I think there's a lot to play for in that game. Washington have a lot to play for at San Francisco. Philly-Dallas should be an absolute corker of a matchup. They're sort of having words with each other.
Jalen Hurts is out, though. That's the problem. So this makes it interesting. Yes. So the first time they played each other, Hurts played and Cooper Rush was playing because Dak Prescott was out. Now we were billing for the rematch and everyone was like, this is going to be the real Cowboys versus the real Eagles.
Yep.
Now Jalen Hurts is out. I can't remember who's playing quarterback.
It's going to be Gardner, isn't it?
Oh, fuck, you're right. Gardner Minshew. Load up on Philly. Minshew mania is back,
that's
baby. Right.
Well, that's what this is going to be, the tester, I think. I know Hurts has been excellent and the bar has been set really high because Meg was like, oh, he wasn't that good last week, but I still thought he was pretty bloody good. Two intercepts wasn't great. Good,
yeah.
But I think the bar from the start of the season where Hurts was to where Hurts is now, the expectation is so high on him now because he's been delivering.
Well, I think
the expectation is going to be dropped for Gardner.
Yeah.
Could he still perform because the offensive line and the weapons are so good? Is he just going to produce the same sort of stuff?
Well, I suppose is that going to lean more into that like rhetoric? As if they smash Dallas, they'll be like, oh, well, it's not Gardner, it's the team. And now it'll lean more into like Hurts isn't good, it's the team's good. And like, which is fair, their team is pretty fucking good. That's but nice. I still think what Hurts is doing is pretty good. Like, you got to give it to him. The guy is pretty much at MVP level. I would be putting money on him at the moment. And he has actually gone out today because of that injury.
Yeah, he has.
Between him and Patrick Mahomes, Allen's float there or thereabouts, but I don't think he can, unless he does like balls out for the next 3 weeks, it's Hurts and Mahomes for me.
I would say so, yeah. Allen, yeah, he's got a bit of work to do there. He'd probably have to pull something out of his ass. So, yeah, look, that'll be a good matchup. And I think Green Bay-Miami might be pretty decent because Green Bay is obviously still in with a bit of a sniff. So it'd be interesting to see what they can do there. I'm just seeing if there's any other good like money spinners for us this week. I think, as you said, Detroit Lions, they're playing for a spot in the playoffs. They're $1.65. I quite like that.
I mean, you could look at the Broncos v. Rams. That's probably Brett Ripien versus Baker Mayfield, unless Russell Wilson plays. How about that? What I can't believe we even messed over this, but apparently Russell Wilson tried to play last week and they medically would not clear him no matter how much. And I think like it was the most minor injury as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they've really iced him up there. Just ice up, son. Just sit on the sidelines watch Mr. Ripien do his thing.
Yeah, come back next year, mate. We need you back for next year, mate. You've done enough damage this year. Like, yeah.
That's right. But we're going to ride into next season. So, yeah, look, that actually could be an absolute...
That's a Christmas Day miracle. They probably looked at that, a game of that head, and they thought, oh, Jared Goff and the reigning Super Bowl champions versus Russell Wilson and a potential contender in the Broncos. God,
yeah, look, that would have set the world on fire at the start of the season.
Please, NFL, if you're listening, flex that motherfucker.
Yeah, correct. They need to be able to flex every game throughout the season because that is just getting ridiculous.
So Christmas Day miracle, we look forward to that. I'll be able to watch that on primetime on Boxing Day while I'm off my guts.
That's right. So, yeah, look, big week coming up. Christmas is coming up. Everyone's going to be with their families enjoying some Christmas time. They're going to be enjoying their Christmas food, as we talked about before. So, look, it's been a big season so far. We've got a few more weeks to the end of the year, and I think we'll look forward to some more coming up.
Yeah, so make sure when you're spending that time and you want to get away from your family, hook your headphones into this bad boy and chug us on. Catch us next time.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.